So here we are on a day set aside, December 23rd, a day that, you know, may not be the most convenient day to set aside for a full day of practice. And yet, as I think many of you expressed, a day most needed for that rejuvenation, resuscitation, self-care. Returning to practice, some peace. And I apologize if I didn't mention what's dear to your heart, but those ones, I guess, resonated for me. And I think this is the third time we've done a day right before the holidays. And even though it's just the third time, it started to feel like a tradition. And I think some of you were here last year and the other time, and it has this feeling of tradition. Even the year when we had to cancel because of the snowstorm felt part of that tradition. There are so many great topics for this time of year. And I had just been to India, or I was going to India, when I set my mind on the topic of generosity, because I just had a hunch that I might have something from my own practice and experiences from that trip that would be worthwhile to share in terms of generosity. And then as I started to look at it, it just became so apparent how gratitude and generosity are one. Just listening to one of the talks, she talked about the two hands coming together, the hand of gratitude and the hand of generosity, and how they come together, and they do in all the different wisdom traditions, whether it be in prayer or whether it be in a bow of thanks, that namaste that I did over and over again in India, because that's how people say hello and goodbye, which is beautiful. The divine in me greets the divine in you. Nice. Yeah, and also too in our culture, the handshake, you know, there's a real coming together. So, but sometimes it's really hard to feel grateful. Do you ever notice that? And it's pretty ironic here in the West, because all of us have enough, right? We all have enough, and yet we can feel not grateful and therefore not generous and therefore not filled with joy. So I was reflecting on this and within my own life, and having some struggles since India, and feeling just this past week, actually, the heart feeling very closed, not grateful, not generous, you know, it's the fists, not generous, and joy was merely a concept. So, and yet, knowing too, this will pass, right? This will pass, knowing, and as I went deeper into it, it did start to pass, and is passing. And so, and how is that? How is that? I think sometimes when our hearts are really closed, you know, we're in this season where we're supposed to be grateful, we're supposed to be generous, we're supposed to be filled with joy, and we're not. Then what do we need? And the wise mind within me, that's within each of us, answered, well, we need some loving kindness. I need some loving kindness. I need some self-compassion. And so coming back to ourselves and giving ourselves what we need, whether it be through having a hot bath, a warm cup of tea, a formal loving kindness practice, or a self-compassion break, or a compassion practice. So this also led me to reflect on archetypal characters of generosity and its opposite, stinginess. So indulge me if you will. So first of all, definitions, before I go into the example, so gratitude. It's always useful to look at the dictionary. I find it infinitely useful because more meanings open up for me. So gratitude, and I'm sure many of you know this, comes from the Latin gratus, which means grace. And that's a beautiful thing. But it also comes even farther back from Sanskrit, because you know English and the Indo-European languages, they'll have a lot of roots in Sanskrit as well as Latin and Greek. And in the Sanskrit, it means praise. And then I love this. In the old High German, it means to sigh. Gratitude means to sigh. And don't we know that? Yeah, we go, ah. Right? So when we receive something and the heart feels full, it's not a sad sigh. It's that opening kind of a sigh. So I thought that was quite lovely. And of course, we understand gratitude is appreciation, for benefits, being thankful. And then the dictionary also said we enter into a sense of gratitude because something is pleasing, because it's either given us comfort or alleviated discomfort. And so that made me think too, you know, when the heart's closed, you know, we're really needing comfort. Really needing comfort. Something's wounded. And if we can attend to that wound, then the gratitude can start to happen. So I'll come back to that. And then generosity. Generosity is a cool word because it comes from the root of meaning of genus, G-E-N-U-S, which means birth. And when I say that, you go, of course, generate, right? So it's generative, yeah? So so when we're generous, it gives birth to things. It opens to things. It creates generosity, gives birth to generosity, right? And we all know this. And so the fullness, and then there's more fullness, and there's more fullness, and there's abundance, yeah? The other piece that's interesting about generosity is that an archaic definition is that it means high-born. Now, we tend to toss aside that kind of notion these days, but when you think about it, there is a quality of nobility to us when we're being generous. And this is a quality to allow ourselves to appreciate, to be grateful for, yeah? And go, yeah, I done good. That was good. That was opening to myself and to others. And then in terms of opposite, I looked up stingy. There were lots of words I could have looked up, but I looked up stingy. And fascinating word, because it comes from the meaning of to sting. To sting. And don't we know it when we have our stingy moments? And it makes me think of, you know, the teaching of the second arrow, right? So that when we're feeling stingy, when our hearts are closed, not only are we stinging ourselves, but inevitably, I don't know about you, but I tend to sting others along the way. So of course, this made me think of Scrooge. So this is the archetypal character. So I'm just going to read a little bit for a bit of context and fun. Oh, but he was a tight-fisted hand at the grindstone. Scrooge, a squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner. Hard and sharp as flint, from which no steel had ever struck out generous fire. Secret and self-contained and solitary as an oyster. The cold within him froze his old features, nipped his pointed nose, shriveled his cheek, stiffened his gait, made his eyes red, his thin lips blue, and spoke out shrewdly in his grating voice. A frosty rime was on his head, and on his eyebrows and his wiry chin. He carried his own low temperature always about with him. He iced his office in the dog days and didn't thaw it 1 degree at Christmas. So in that tale, Scrooge is compared to others who are very generous of heart. And so you may remember his sister, but also his first boss, Fizzywig, or Fezziwig, I think it's Fezziwig. And so there's the scene that you may recall where Fezziwig gives the party for everybody who works in the warehouse, and there's dancing, and there's rum punch, and there's lots to eat, and they have a grand time. And the description of Fezziwig is just lovely. Did I mark it? Oh, I did. Okay. Old Fezziwig laid down his pen and looked up at the clock, which pointed to the hour of 7. He rubbed his hands, adjusted his capacious waistcoat, laughed all over himself, from his shoes to his organ of benevolence, and called out in a comfortable, oily, rich, fat, jovial voice, "Yo-ho there, Ebenezer, Dick," and then he got them to, you know, clear away for the party, right? But, and then there are several other descriptions of his bounty in just how he was with everybody. And Scrooge comments later, because the ghost says, well, you know, not a big deal, you know, this party cost 3 or 4 pounds, perhaps. Is that so much he deserves this praise? And Scrooge says, it isn't that. Scrooge says, heated by the remark and speaking unconsciously like his former, not his latter self. It isn't that, spirit. He has the power to render us happy or unhappy, to make our service light or burdensome, a pleasure or a toil. Say that his power lies in words and looks, in things so slight and insignificant that it is impossible to add and count them up. What then? The happiness he gives is quite as great as if it cost a fortune. So, I reflected on this, and I'm sure there's lots of other reflections, but the one that came up for me about Scrooge was about his transformation. And I hope everybody's familiar with the story. It gets better. And, you know, the ghost of Christmas past and present and future. And with these tales, especially with the ghost of Christmas past, which was always my favorite, he is shown that he was loved. And he was shown that people were generous with him. Fezziwig, his sister, even ultimately his father, who had originally disowned him, made peace with him. So he was reminded that he was loved and that people were generous with him. And I think sometimes we have to remind ourselves of this. And sometimes, too, we do, because we are social beings, we do need somebody to step in, right? Because, you know, sometimes we think with meditation practice supposed to do it all ourselves. That's not completely true, or we wouldn't be here in community to practice, right? So sometimes we need someone else to come in and say, yeah, you're good, you're okay, and I appreciate you, and give you a leg up and help you out. Do an act of generosity for us. And then we can start to feel our own goodness and feel some gratitude, and our hearts open as well. So something to look at as we go through this season, that reciprocity, it is important to receive. It is important to receive. And if we can receive with grace, then we have this possibility of then also giving with grace. And so you know the ending of the story, I think most of you. So here's a wee bit. After having these experiences, Scrooge got himself all dressed up in his finery, and he went to church and walked about the streets. It's Christmas Day, mind you, and watched the people hurrying to and fro, and patted children on the head, and questioned beggars, and looked down into the kitchens of houses, and up to the windows, and found that everything could yield him pleasure. He had never dreamed that any walk, that anything, could give him so much happiness. In the afternoon, he turned his steps towards his nephew's house. And as you may know, then he made peace with his nephews. He made peace with Bob Cratchit and family. He became like an uncle to Tiny Tim. And as it is said, you know, he lived the rest of his life as a very generous human being who always kept that spirit of Christmas alive all the year round. So, you know, you may think this story is an old chestnut, but maybe sometimes old chestnuts are old chestnuts for good reasons. And to just remember that need for one another, for our hearts to open. You know, as Thich Nhat Hanh calls, that we do exist as interbeings. Interbeings. I exist because you exist. You exist because I exist. We come together. So, I think that's all I have to say. And we'll give it a pause. And we'll practice.